Hello, Green Bay Packers fans. This is the Cheesehead TV post-game show on, of course, CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Thanks for joining me. We are celebrating a Green Bay Packers victory, albeit a close one, a perhaps unexpectedly close one, on the road in Charlotte, in North Carolina. The Packers come away with the victory, 30-23. And the thing I will stick to probably for the rest of my life, it's tough to win on the road in the NFL, no matter who you're playing. Even though the Packers were Super Bowl champions last year, and they're taking on the worst team in the NFL, that the number one overall draft choice in the NFL draft last April, it's tough to win on the road in the NFL. Really tough. Really, really tough. as evidenced by today's game. Cam Newton looking good in the first quarter. But from there on out, it is the Packers. It was a tale of the first quarter and then the final three. The Panthers looking unstoppable through the first 15 minutes of the game. Cam Newton really, you know, looking like he is a Pro Bowler, living up to the hype, at least to begin the game. He did so well. I give him all the credit in the world in the first quarter. I was like, wow. I mean, the Packers defense was bad, but I mean, Cam Newton was putting the ball exactly where it should have been. And then things turned around. It seemed like as soon as the second quarter started, it was a different game. And the Packers hang on for the victory, 30-23. Got a little close at the end. Panthers made it a one-score game with that final touchdown by Cam Newton on the ground. But they can't come up with the onside kick, and the Packers hang on for a victory. What we're going to do is go through some of the scoring, some of the statistics, and then going to open up the phone lines to you. So let's get right down to it. Let's take a look at the scoring today. First quarter, the Panthers get on the board first. A Brandon LaFell 3-yard touchdown pass from Cam Newton puts the Panthers on top 7-0, followed up by an Olindo Mari 20-yard field goal, and that's the Panthers are up 10-0 first quarter and look unstoppable. And without any time, you know, hardly into the second quarter, they get another Mari field goal and are up 13-0. But from there on out, it's pretty much Packers for a while. The Packers have, let's see, 5 straight scoring plays from there on out. The first of which is the John Kuhn 1-yard touchdown run. Still early in the second quarter, Packers finally get on the board down 13-7. It isn't until the second half that the Packers actually take the lead. They do so on a Greg Jennings 49-yard touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers. Packers take the lead for the first time by 1 point, are up 14-13. And the Packers, they stayed on top from there on out, even though that margin would be get slimmer as the game went on. Mason Crosby pushes it to 17-13 with a 37-yard field goal, Packers' first field goal of the season, and follows that up with two more before the third quarter is over. At about 5:46 in the third quarter, Mason Crosby hits a 19-yard field goal. Packers can't punch it in from just 1 or 2 yards out. And then to round out the scoring in the third quarter, Mason Crosby 34-yard field goal makes it a two-score game, 23-13. Gets a little bit interesting in the fourth quarter. Panthers, after 5 straight Packers scores, get back on the board, and a Linda Mari 21-yard field goal makes it 23-16. Packers advantage. The Packers go up by 2, once again, making a 2-score game. Jordy Nelson, 84-yard touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers, 30-16. And then finally, at the very end, Cam Newton has a 4-yard touchdown run. Once again, makes it a one-score game, 30-23. But as I said earlier, Panthers can't recover the onside kick. Donald Driver with his second straight onside kick recovery in 2 weeks. And that does it. Final score, Packers 30, Panthers 23. Just going through some of the individual statistics quickly here. Aaron Rodgers completes 19 of 30 passes for 308 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, a quarterback rating of 119.9. Boy, oh boy. I mean, this was not Aaron Rodgers' best game ever. That's scary to say, isn't it? When he has 308 yards passing, 0 interceptions, and a passer rating of almost 120. You know, that's a Aaron Rodgers' poor game. That's scary. You know, he throws 11 incomplete passes, and most of them, I would say, were his fault. I didn't see a whole ton of drops today, but I mean, it's, you know, it was still a good game by Aaron Rodgers. I'm just saying it's not like the superhuman performances we've seen in the past, and even a week ago. In the rushing department, James Starks has 9 carries for 85 yards. That is a 9.4-yard average per carry. Ryan Grant, 6 carries for 25 yards. Aaron Rodgers has 5 for 13. And John Kuhn only has 1 carry. Makes it count, has the 1-yard touchdown run. In the receiving department, Jordy Nelson, on 1 catch, leads the team in receiving yardage. 1 catch, 84 yards. Of course, that was the dagger in the fourth quarter. Puts the Packers on top. And that's it for the day. Jordy Nelson with 1 catch. Does anybody make a big deal about Jordy Nelson having 1 catch on the day only? Oh, after James Jones' 1 catch performance a week ago and everybody was up in arms? Anyhow, Jermichael Finley, 5 catches, has the most catches of any Packer, 5 catches for 68 yards. Greg Jennings only has 2 catches on the day, but they're 2 for 55 yards, including a touchdown himself. James Starks, 3 for 30. Randall Cobb, 2 for 25. James Jones, 1 for 15. James Jones only has 1 catch again. Just pointing that out. Just saying. Ryan Grant, 3 for 14. Down Driver, 1 for 10. Becomes the Packers' all-time receiving leader. John Kuhn, 1 for 7. And that's, you know, pretty much wraps up the offensive individual statistics. You know, the most telling statistic of the day overall is the turnover battle. Panthers have 4. Packers have 1. And that's the difference right there. Cam Newton throwing 3 interceptions. Charles Woodson getting 2 of them and recovering another fumble. And, you know, that's the difference in today's game. And with that, I open up the phone lines. If you want to call into the show, I'll put it up on the screen here. The phone number is area code 646-797-2909. If you want to call in, by all means, let us know what is on your mind with these Packers. As, you know, they win. But it was a close one. Tough to go on the road in the NFL, no matter who it is. Midwest fan, I see commenting on the live blog. Woodson is clearly over the hill, clearly. He's just a cagey guy, you know. He'll get beat deep, and he did today by Steve Smith a couple times. But, I mean, it's just, he's not going to get beat all the time. Woodson is too smart, too cagey to continually get beat and not make you pay. And that's what he did today, picking off Cam Newton, the rookie, 2 times and recovering a fumble, making a couple nice other tackles in the game. Woodson, I'll say it right now, the NFC Defensive Player of the Week. I mean, I say that without even knowing what anybody in the NFL is doing right now, but you get 2 interceptions, you recover a fumble. I'm just saying that's a pretty likely scenario. Jack in Jersey City going one-upping it and says Woodson and Driver are finished. Even in their old age, relative old age. Those two guys are still doing pretty well. You know, not a complete game by the Packers today. Not a complete game. People would have loved to have seen them, you know, just dominate, embarrass this team. But that doesn't happen in the NFL. It just doesn't happen like that. You know, the Panthers, give them credit. You know, they fought. They fought hard. It was the Cam Newton show almost, you would have thought. I mean, the announcers pay so much attention to him. It borders on ridiculous almost. I mean, it's hard to blame him. I mean, the casual fan, the one who has, you know, nothing at stake, and either a Packers or a Panthers fan, he's the storyline. But, you know, it's... You know, that Cam Newton ends up throwing three interceptions total. The other one to Morgan Burnett on top of the two by Charles Woodson. And the Packers, although how poorly they played in the first quarter, turned things around from there on out. They did go to that zone coverage there, as my colleague Aaron Nagler points out, right away at the beginning of the second quarter. And that seemed to turn the tide some. And not that they stayed that way the whole game. They went back to some zone or some man coverage principles later in the game. But it just, you know, they really, it seemed once that first quarter was over, the Packers took over the game. And really, you know, take out those first 13 points. I mean, the scoring from there on out. I mean, what is that? If we take away the first quarter, and I know it's, you know, you can't really do that. I mean, the first quarter counts as much as any, but I mean, it's a 30-10 game from there on out. Noteworthy in pointing out, as I write the against the spread column at Cheesehead TV, I picked the Packers and the over. And it was a little torn with that last score of the game by Cam Newton, you know, just from a selfish gambling point of view. Not that I put any money on the game, and honest to God, I didn't. I just write the column. And but I, you know, I tried to do my best. I tried to give insightful picks. I picked the over and the Packers, and the Packers were covering the spread until that last Cam Newton touchdown. But it also, the Cam Newton touchdown did push it over. So no matter what happened there, I was only going to get one right, whether the Packers held them or were the Panthers scored. So that's 50-50 on the against the spread picks, against the lines today. Not that that means anything. The news today, and I can see the Packers official tweet here, Nick Collins still being evaluated. Looks good so far. Hopefully he can come back with the team flight. So, you know, that's good. I mean, Nick Collins, it was a little scare there in the fourth quarter when he attempted to make the tackle. Kind of got his neck jarred a little bit while attempting to make the tackle. And, you know, it never looks good when they bring the stretcher out. But he had movement in all extremities, it appeared, you know, right from the get-go. Just you know, erring on the side of caution, and that's what they should do. Can't blame him for doing that. And you just hope, you know, Nick Collins just is fine now. That's what you hope. I you know, that we're not going to know anything more until tomorrow, I'm sure. Mike McCarthy always has his post game press conference the day following a game, so he'll have a press conference tomorrow, and he'll give an update on Nick Collins' situation as much as he knows. You know, it's you're certainly not going to find out anything right now other than, you know, the initial indications are good that he has movement and all that, but you know, so you wait for tomorrow, and then you wait to your next update on Wednesday, probably, when the Packers return to practice. And I can see the next tweet from the Packers official Twitter feed. Coach McCarthy saying in his post-game press conference right now, not a clean game, big game in Chicago coming up. And you know what? I mean, the Packers are 2-0 right now, and that's what matters. The Green Bay Packers 2-0 heading into their first divisional matchup with the Chicago Bears next week. Can somebody on the live blog give me an update on the Bears game? I think they went up 7-0 on the Saints, and then the Saints, you know, got back in the game 10-7, and that's kind of where I lost track. I wasn't paying attention to the scores on the screen anymore, other than the one that the Packers were playing in. So somebody want to give me an update there? John Rahor says the Bears lost. Fantastic. So there we go. Packers up 2-0 on their competition, in the standings. Packers 2-0. That's what counts, right? You know, they go into a tough one here at Carolina. And, you know, so many people thought they would, you know, just dominate, and it doesn't happen. But it's so tough. I'm repeating myself, but it's so tough to win on the road in the NFL, no matter who you're against. This is not going to be the last time the Packers are going to have a tough one on the road this year. Thad Collins pointing out the Lions are 2-0 as well. Eric's saying the Lions absolutely destroyed the Chiefs. You know, how big of a matchup is that going to become later in the season? So, am I correct? So, the Packers play the Lions on Thanksgiving Day at the Lions, and then the next matchup is the last game of the season, if I remember correctly. New Year's Day at Lambeau. Those are going to be two pretty good games. How about the holiday season this year? Haven't brought this up a whole lot, but it is worth noting. The Packers play on Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. That's some pretty good holiday television viewing when you're sitting around with the family. It doesn't get any better than that, does it? Packers RS says, the Bears' offensive line might be worse than the Packers' early 09. Did I hear that Gabe Kareemi had an injury too today? That certainly isn't good news if that's the case for the Bears. Not that I think I just read a tweet about that. Again, my attention was on the Packers today, but, you know, just something briefly I think I saw come across the Twitter feed. By all means, somebody call into the show, 646-797-2909. I see so many people viewing this post-game show here at Cheesehead TV, and thank you all so much for following along, watching, paying attention. We certainly and sincerely appreciate it. What are your thoughts? The Packers, I'm assuming the defense has to be a concern, as we go forward. I mean, the Packers looking so poorly in the first quarter and giving up 23 points overall. I mean, certainly it's an improvement upon last week. And the Packers' defense got better as the game went along, you know, causing 4 turnovers. But, I mean, 23 points, that is, a concern, somewhat, albeit lesser than the Packers' offense. And here we have a phone call. Hello, you're on the Cheesehead TV postgame show. Who do we have joining us?
Hey, bro.
Hello? I heard you for 1 second, but now you seem to have cut out on me. Not exactly sure what happened there. Feel free to call back in. I'm not sure what happened. Heard you for 1 second, and then it cut out. Not sure if it's a problem on my end, on your end. As usual, it's probably on the Cheesehead TV end. We'll try this again here. Hello, who do we have joining us?
Hey, Brian, it's Thaddeus.
Hey, Thaddeus, how you doing in New York City?
Yeah, it's gone well. It's kind of cold out today, but stayed in the house, watched the game.
And I assume you enjoyed the outcome, if nothing else.
sorry. Give me a second. My house is terrible with service. I didn't hear your question.
I'm just saying you must have enjoyed the outcome of the game, nothing else. A Packers victory, even though it wasn't the cleanest game. And there we go. Having some issues here from Thaddeus. Maybe it is on his end that we have some connection issues, or he was saying the reception isn't the greatest there where he's living. Usually it's the problem on the Cheesehead TV end as we're using the Skype line, but we appear to be doing okay, actually. If anybody else wants to call on the show, feel free as well. And if you can find a place where you get good reception, Thaddeus, where your calls are always welcome. Comment from Cap on the live blog. There will be major concern if Collins is out for an extended period of time. Certainly, you don't want to lose a Pro Bowl caliber player like Nick Collins. I mean, he's a good player. He's a Pro Bowler. He's one of the best safeties in the NFC. He's good. I suppose, though, the Packers have prepared for this eventuality. Not that it was a given that this was going to happen, but, you know, injuries happen, and they have decent depth at the safety position. You know, this is why they signed Charlie Peppard to a contract extension at the end of last year. You know, that he's in the fold now for 2 years, I think the extension was for. And, you know, so I have trust in Charlie Peppard after what he did last year. It was kind of interesting after Nick Collins goes out, the very first play, or the next play at least, Cam Newton targets Charlie Peppard, at least his area of the field. But I mean, you know, Peppard kept the play in front of him. If I remember correctly, it went for a first down. But, you know, it's, you know, he played solid, as well as could be expected. Packers RS comments, luckily Tremont is back for the next game, but will be without Collins probably. Is that a given? Did Mike McCarthy say that he's back? I mean, you certainly hope he is. I haven't seen anything definitive yet that Tremont Williams is going to be back. Maybe I missed it. Again, things can fly under my radar without seeing it, but you know, Tremont Williams, the Packers missed him today, especially early on in that man coverage when, you know, Steve Smith and others were making the Packers pay with that man coverage. Charles Woodson getting beat. I bring this up every week. I do my blue chips, red chips, and cow chips column here at Cheesehead TV. Not exactly sure who to give the cow chips to. It's like everybody had a bad play now and again, but it seemed that they all made up for it. I mean, Charles Woodson got beat a couple times, but he more than made up for it with two interceptions. Morgan Burnett was targeted a little bit early on, but he came back late in the game, forcing the fumble, having some nice tackles. Sam Shields, you know, for the most part, he held his man without a catch. Looked poor tackling. Sam Shields is a terrible tackler. Pac Fran from Illinois says Crosby had a good day. He did. 3 for 3 in field goals and made all his extra points. Nothing too challenging, though. I mean, what the longest one was, what, 37 yards from Crosby? But certainly, I mean, he's 100% on the season. You just got to hope Mason Crosby keeps it up now. You know who I probably have to give a cow chip to? Midwest fan says cow chips for Jim Mora. Certainly. Boy, is Jim Mora terrible. Usually I listen to the Packers radio broadcast. Today I didn't I just kind of forgot about it. And then the game started and I was already listening to the TV. So I just said, forget it. I'll just listen to the TV. And Jim Mora, he just, you know, you can tell the guy, his background is not broadcasting and television, and maybe he would be better had he had more extensive education in that area growing up or, you know, in his college years perhaps. But you can tell he's just a coach who's, you know, trying to provide a little analysis. But my goodness, the cow chip on the pass rush, says Pac fan from Illinois. I see. I try to appoint cow chips, all my chips, to particular people. And it's tough today to not, you know, give that to a particular person, you know, when we say the pass rush. So, Jamie George says penalties. Cow chip for the penalties. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll change my mind and give a cow chip to facets of the game other than people. Who I'm going to have to give one to, I suppose, is Randall Cobb for the fumble on the second kickoff of the game after the Panthers scored, I believe, to go up 7-0. And then the ensuing kickoff, the Packers take out, Randall Cobb takes out and fumbles. You know, that wasn't good. I mean, that right there set the Panthers up, I believe, for a field goal and made it 10-0 early on. That certainly was not a good sign. I mean, Cobb, but by all means, this is not an indictment of what I think Randall Cobb can do and is going to do for the rest of the year and the rest of his, career. But today wasn't good. I mean, you just can't have fumbles. You can't have fumbles. I mean, the Packers, you know how bad it was last year. Remember when Jordy Nelson had 2 fumbles on kickoff returns in the same game last year? That was the end of him on kickoff returns. Comment from Mark says, maybe Crabtree. Yeah, Crabtree, he kind of gave up the sack there, didn't he? On the whole, the Packers' pass protection did fairly well. How many sacks did they give up? I got to look at some of the, other stats in the game here. Not individual statistics. Here we go. Just some things I'm going to point out here. The first down count, the first down advantage, went to Carolina. 26 first downs in the game compared to only 16 for Green Bay. So Carolina with the plus 10 advantage in first downs. And yeah, there's a lot of reasons for that, but it's just something worth pointing out. Third down efficiency, the Packers converted 5 out of 12 third downs compared to only 6 out of 13 for Carolina, roughly even there. The Packers ended up having 9.8 yards per pass compared to 8.8 for Carolina. Boy, that they really got a bump on that last Jordy Nelson touchdown, though. I think had it not been for that, the Panthers might have had more penalties. The Packers actually had more penalties than Carolina, 7 for 57 yards. The Panthers had 6 for 50 yards. And the time of possession, Panthers hold the edge, 32 minutes, 34 seconds to the Packers, 27 minutes, 26 seconds. You know, there's good and there's bad to be taken away from this game. You know, some things are good. You know, certainly the interceptions, the turnover ratio is good. You love to see that. You know, even though the defense does have some issues, they got 4 turnovers. And the offense didn't turn it over at all. Aaron Rodgers now, 2 games into the season, 0 interceptions. Fantastic. Fantastic. Even though he wasn't exactly on the mark. And how about the back shoulder throw today? So much attention was given to during the week about the back shoulder throw. Every media outlet had a story on it. The Green Bay Press Gazette, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, ESPNMilwaukee.com. Not that I blame them. I mean, it's worthy of examination, and they examined it. But just so happens the game after they examine it, the back shoulder throw doesn't work. Tried it. I know, especially noteworthy on the 1-2 Jordy Nelson in the end zone. And I just think Aaron Rodgers was off the mark there. Tried it, I believe, once or twice to Greg Jennings. Couldn't hit him. Yeah, how about Greg Jennings today? So they targeted Greg Jennings 8 times, but only came up with 2 catches out of those 8 times. Eric comments on the live blog, the Panthers had too many easy yards on checkdowns. The fundamentals and pad level for tackling, as McCarthy would say. Yeah, a little concerning there, those checkdowns. I mean, there are times when you give up the checkdown. When it is 3rd and 15 and the Packers are only rushing 3 and they got 8 back in coverage, they'll give that checkdown to the running back any time. But I don't think those are the ones anybody's worried about. It's the screen passes to the running backs, things like that, that go for first downs that are a little bit more concerning. Indy Packer fan comments, one win closer to the Super Bowl in Indianapolis. That's the good thing. I mean, there's room to improve with these Packers. And you hope over the course of a season, if you're a Packer fan, they do improve in certain areas of the game, especially on defense. But they're 2-0 again. I mean, what is it? I just saw a tweet from who I believe Adam Schefter the other day. Something like 112 out of 175 teams that start 2-0 go on to make the playoffs. 112 out of 175 since the playoffs expanded to 12 teams in 1990, I believe. Something like that. Something crazy. Maybe not crazy, but, the Packers already setting themselves up for a playoff appearance. There's better than a coin flip's chance that they're going to make the playoffs. Better than a 50-50 shot. It's not like they can throw it in already and just, they made the playoffs and we'll wait till the Super Bowl to make it. But hey, that's good news, right? Next weekend, big clash against the Bears. If I'm correct, next week is a 3 p.m. kickoff on a Sunday, if I believe. Or 3:15 or whatever, the late afternoon game. After the big matchups against the Chicago Bears last year, this is big stuff. 2 regular season meetings that they split last year. The Packers lost the early one to the Bears at Chicago. They won the regular season finale at Lambeau, the game they had to win to even get into the playoffs. And then the Packers go back to Soldier Field in the playoffs and win there. Bears are going to be looking for a little bit of a revenge. Bears, interesting. Say what you will about the Bears, but their win last week against Atlanta was impressive. I know it came at home. They had the home field advantage. But, I mean, they just... It wasn't even a game. I mean, they just really took care of Atlanta. A pretty good Atlanta team, or at least I thought it would be a good Atlanta team. I mean, now they got to go to New Orleans, and, as I say, tough to win on the road. But it'll be tough going into Soldier Field. You better believe Brian Urlacher and company are going to be up to the task. John Rahor comments on the live blog, Bears are going to have one hell of a chip on their shoulder next week. That kind of scares me a little bit. We talked about earlier, though, the Bears offensive line is one heck of a mess, though. And maybe that's good for the Packers pass rush. How'd Eric Walden do today? It seems like maybe he's deserving of perhaps a cow chip. I don't know. It seems like they rotated, Eric Walden and Brad Jones. And it's not like, you know, Eric Walden came out of the game, but he didn't stay on the bench the entire game. You know, he came back in. You know, he certainly didn't do anything of note today, and neither did Brad Jones for that matter. You know, they didn't come up with any impact plays, is what I'm saying. Gonna have to go back and look a little more closer at that one. See how the linebackers played opposite Clay Matthews. Clay Matthews making impact on the game again. You know, it's just his motor makes up for so much. You know, take that last sack of the game on Cam Newton. He was blocked by the Panthers' right tackle. The Panthers' right tackle did a good job, but Clay Matthews just keeps after it and after it and ends up getting that sack in the fourth quarter. And it was big. It's big. What did Matthews, was he credited with two sacks by the end of the game? Looks like he was just credited with one sack. On the defensive side of the ball, I'm just taking a quick look at some of the statistics. Desmond Bishop is your leading tackler, 10 tackles, has one sack, one tackle for a loss. Just a couple other noteworthy ones. Jarrett Bush is the second leading tackler with 7 tackles. Morgan Burnett, 6 tackles, 1 sack, 1 tackle for a loss, 2 passes defensed, 1 quarterback hit. Not a bad day for Morgan Burnett if you take the first quarter out of it. Clay Matthews has a sack, tackle for a loss, a pass defensed. So that's where the Packers are on the defensive side of the ball. Jay says, was CM3's sack the one he ran Cam out of bounds? You know, I think so. I think, you know, I think he was credited with a sack on that. And then the other play he made on Cam Newton was in the pocket, but I think Cam Newton ended up getting beyond the line of scrimmage. And so it wasn't technically a sack. What am I seeing here? Everybody's commenting on Nick Collins. The CT scan for Collins is negative movement in all extremities. That's good. Good news. Good news on Nick Collins. Whether he'll be able to play by next week, we'll see. But movement in all extremities, CT negative. Good news on that account. And by all means, phone numbers up on the screen, 646-797-2909. We need a Packers loss for people to call in, I think. That's when everybody wants to complain, when they have a loss. Not enough to complain about after a win. Had the game gone along like it was in the first quarter, then it'd be a different story. Boy, did the defense look lost in the first quarter. Hard to complain about the special teams. I suppose it's an improvement over last week. I mean, there's very little to... It's not a good performance by the special teams or, you know, any outstanding plays, but, you know, nothing hurt them either. Here we go. See who we have on the line here. Hello, you're on the Cheesehead TV postgame show. Who do we have joining us?
Hey, Brian, this is Mike Pingle.
Mike Pingle, how are you doing, sir?
Yeah, good.
Big snake man.
Don't really have much to add today, but just wanted to give you a break from talking.
No, thank you. I appreciate that.
You know, you were talking about people not wanting to complain except after a loss, but boy, this felt pretty close to a loss without being one.
Yeah.
I know they talked about...
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I know they talked about on the pregame show, how confident the Packers sounded. And I'm wondering if maybe that wasn't a factor in this, that they may have been looking past them a little bit. I don't know if that's the case or not, but it might have been a factor.
Yeah, don't they say a trap game comes after a big win, and then before you're looking ahead to another big game, so this one's kind of sandwiched in the middle. I don't know if that's the definition of a trap game or not, or whether the Packers were looking ahead. I don't know. I'm just throwing out possibilities.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think that's the very definition of a trap game.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a pretty uneven performance. It's kind of like you were talking about before, that everybody had their downs, but they also came back and made plays when they needed to. It's kind of a disturbing trend so far in the defense.
Yeah, it is almost, isn't it? Last week is the same way. They would have a bad play, and then they'd come back and make a big stop or something like that. It's like they're all...
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I don't know. To use a McCarthy term, I think they need to clean that up if they really want to have a return to Indianapolis or a return to the Super Bowl. Morgan Burnett would be a good example. I thought he looked really shaky in the first half, and then he came back in the second half and seemed to be all over the place.
Yeah, so to quote Mike McCarthy, the Packers just need to, stack their success now? So they got two wins, and now they got to keep stacking them with the division foe coming up.
Yeah, it seems like something like that. Well, they should be pretty motivated for next week, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, you can't get any more motivation, I don't think, against the Bears after what happened last year, meeting them in the final game of the year.
The Bears will be.
Yeah, they'll be fired up in Soldier Field. Anyhow, Mike, right. Thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it. I can use a breather once in a while.
That's right. I owe you one from declining your last invitation, so I'd check in with you.
Sounds good. We'll see you at Throwback Weekend.
Yeah, all right. Sounds good.
All right.
Good one.
See you then.
Bye-bye.
Thank you to Mike Pingle for calling into the show here on Cheesehead TV. Anybody else out there coming to Throwback Weekend in Green Bay? If you haven't heard, I don't know how you haven't yet, if you read Cheesehead TV or Pocket Doppler. The weekend of October 15th and 16th, Cheesehead TV, Pocket Doppler, and First String PR getting together to throw one big party in Green Bay. Saturday night at the Abbey at 7:30 p.m. Central Time, and then the following day, tailgate party beginning as early as you can get up. 8 o'clock a.m.? Not that you have to be there that early, but as early as 8 a.m. at the Green Bay Distillery tailgate party before the game. And after as well, I suppose. As soon as the game's over, people will be filtering back, I bet. But I encourage you, if you're a fan of Cheesehead TV, come and enjoy the festivities. They're free. We're asking if you are going to take part. We're going to be providing a one half barrel of beer the night before at the Abbey. And the next day, providing some food and refreshments during the tailgate party. We are passing the hat just to offset the costs. Anything more than we get back is going to be donated to charity. And if you can, bring a dish to pass as well to the tailgate party. We're trying to make this, the fans are going to be part of this, Packers Planet says, beer? I like beer. We got beer. We got beer, so. Free half barrel at the Abbey Saturday night. And I believe, and you can get on Corey Banky for this. Tweet him up, at Corey Banky. He says he's going to be providing a half barrel of a microbrew on Sunday morning, the 16th, before the Rams game. Throwback weekend. Stay tuned, too. I'm going to be putting up a post sometimes this week. We're going to be selling Throwback Weekend t-shirts that look just like the Packers throwback uniform with the circle on the front, you know where that number is. But anyway, Bear Flash asked, did Cheesehead TV just say something about free beer on Saturday, October 15th in Green Bay? Yes, they did. Free beer. We asked for a donation. But no, seriously, I mean, that that's it. I mean, we're happy with any sort of donation. Free beer, though. I mean, you can certainly, but between as many people as we have there, it should be a fun time. So it should be fantastic. We're not looking to empty anybody's wallets by any means. But should be a good time. October 15th, 16th. Be there. So what do we got here? What's left to analyze about this game? I saw we were starting to get on the topic of special teams there for a while, and somehow I distracted myself. You know, the special teams is a positive compared to last week. You know, last week, the Packers give up the long returns to Darren Sproles of the Saints. I mean, they gave up like two long punt returns, one for a touchdown, and two, you know, mid-range kickoff returns. You know, wasn't one of those like 50 yards to Darren Sproles on a kickoff? And this week, you know, it was definitely a step in the right direction. In fact, I believe, was it the first kickoff in the game? Really good. You know, Crosby goes and sends it to the corner. And you know, anytime the Packers send it straight down, kick it straight down the middle of the field, that's when they're going to be looking for touchbacks. But if they're going to kick it to the corners, they're looking for him to bring it out. And that's what the Panthers did on the first kickoff of the game. They brought it out. And Jamari Lattimore, if I believe correctly, made the tackle there at about the 15-yard line. And so, you know, good job there. Randall Cobb did a good job on punt returns. He making a couple fair catches in traffic. I was impressed by the way it was done in traffic, because there were a couple people right around him that I thought it might be hard to make that catch. But he did fine. Of course, he had the fumble on the opening kickoff, which is a shame. But, you know, he's a rookie. You just hope he learns from it. I hope he gets the vision worked out. And you saw this in the game he got injured. What was that? The second preseason game? Was it against the Colts, if I can remember correctly? He ran right into traffic, right into a pile in that Colts game in the preseason. And he did the same thing today. He ran right in the back of a blocker. And the vision hasn't been there for Randall Cobb yet. I mean, again, I fully admit, small sample size. I'm talking about two instances here. And certainly the positive last week with the touchdown return has outweighed the negative so far. I'm not sure if he has one more fumble, it'll still be that way. But so far, the positives have outweighed the negatives, and he is a rookie. You kind of give him a little bit of a pass on that. But, you know, he's got to get that vision under control. Kurt Cozad saying, I was very happy with the special teams coverage, vast improvement. Yes, coverage units today, big improvement over a week ago. Coverage units, really good. Ryan Taylor, making his NFL debut this week, part of those coverage teams, seemed to be doing a good job. Ryan Taylor, the rookie from North Carolina, 7th-round draft choice, did not play last week, being held out after suffering an injury during training camp, makes his debut this week. Along with M.D. Jennings as well, making his rookie debut, also inactive last week, but active this one. believe he was on special teams a little bit today, but I'm not sure if he did anything too notable. So, we look at the injury situation going forward here. Tremont Williams held out of this game. Frank Zombo held out of this game. Vic Sooto held out. And now you see where these guys are going forward along with Nick Barnett. That'll be, that'll be notable going forward. You wait for Mike McCarthy's press conference to see where these guys are at, see how they're making progress, if they're making progress. Comment from Mark asks on our live blog. House makes his debut next week, asking a question. Especially if Tremont Williams comes back, I don't see Devon House making any comeback. Perhaps if all of the safeties were healthy, they might add that extra, defensive back. They could possibly activate a guy like House and make a guy like MD Jennings inactive. But, Devon House is just, he's behind the eight ball. He missed a lot of time in training camp and, has had a hard time coming back. Yeah, apparently he's healthy now. But anyway, John Rayord's Nick Barnett. Did I say Nick Barnett? I apologize. I meant Nick Collins. My bad. Didn't even think about it. Kurt Kozad asked, what's the latest on Sooto? So the story with Vic Sooto this week was that he practiced on their first day of practice, on their regular practice schedule on Wednesday. He practices, and then the next day he doesn't. On Thursday, he doesn't. Must have been some sort of setback, or maybe he just didn't feel as good as they anticipated. And rather than, make it worse than it already is, they were just, again, erring on the side of caution with him. And just saying, you're out for the week. We'll take it up again next week. I'm not sure he exactly had a setback. I think they just determined maybe it's too early for him so far. The fact that he even practiced on Wednesday, I think, was a positive for him, for the young rookie, undrafted rookie outside linebacker. That was a positive, the fact that he was even able to practice. So I think he's taken steps in the right direction. Well, again, we'll see here going forward. Packers return to practice on Wednesday of this week. Packers will practice Wednesday. Tomorrow, what is it? Victory Monday, right? They have the day off on Mondays if they win. Always have the day off on Tuesdays. Tuesday is their off day. And then on Wednesday, they return to practice for three straight days. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Friday's an easy day. They're jogged through in preparation for their preparation for the Bears on Sunday. Pardon me. Kurt Kozad asked, do you think J. Mike learned a lesson on his TD denial? I think he learned he's got to hang on to the ball if he wants a touchdown. I don't know how to read into that question. Did his ego take a hit? I'm not so sure about that. But I mean, it was the correct call. What that was, what you saw when JerMichael Finley dropped the ball in the end zone. Well, he didn't really drop it. He seemed to hang on to it, and then once the ball went to the ground, he lost it. It's the Kelvin Johnson rule, as I'm sure you've heard other people say. Dating back to Week 1 of the 2010 season when the Lions played the Bears. Was that Soldier Field? I think so. And, Kelvin Johnson makes the catch and then goes to the ground. The ball comes out after he makes the catch. At least that's the way I see it. And then it comes out once the ball, he sets the ball on the ground. He didn't set it, but, whatever. The ball was secured. And anyhow, so it's the proper call by the officials, given the way the rule book is stated or what the rule book says. I don't agree with it. And I saw the tweet from, again, Aaron Nagler as soon as the play happened. You know, he comments that, the ground can't cause a fumble, but it can deny a touchdown, which that makes no sense to me either. You know, he clearly, to me, JerMichael Finley had secured the ball, had possession of it, and then, you know, got rid of it or whatever. And, it was the proper call the way the rules are stated. Kurt comments, I think he was beginning his celebration. It should have been a TD. Again, it's the proper call, and I can't blame the refs for ruling it that way. I suppose, you know, here's the one I was really mad about, and perhaps I shouldn't be here, given the way these rules are stated with the quarterbacks having to be cradled. So, you know, Desmond Bishop has this penalty, roughing the passer, and that one certainly did not seem like roughing the passer to me. I hate if that's the way things are going to be enforced. I'm really disliking the way the NFL is enforcing that rule now. And that you have to cradle the passer. What is it? What did they say? You can't drive them into the ground. I mean, just the way the tackle was made. It was the perfect form tackle by Desmond Bishop on Cam Newton. The hit was made after Newton releases the ball. You can hit the quarterback after he releases the ball. It just can't be, 2 seconds after he releases it. Desmond Bishop didn't have a chance to let up. But, I mean, it's such a shame that, that the way they are protecting quarterbacks has gone beyond what I think is necessary, or, I'm not sure what to say. I'm at a loss for words for how to say this. I mean, I like when defenseless players are protected. I hate it when there's hits to their head, especially when there's no reason defensive players can't break down. Same thing for receivers. When defenders launch themselves at receivers and there's no reason they have to launch themselves, just tackle them, especially when they're right in front of you. But to put up a perfect form tackle on Cam Newton, that's the issue I take with it, and that's what I don't like. But anyhow, that's just me, I suppose. No, I don't think it's just me. Midwest fan here on the live blog saying didn't like the Bishop call either. It's not just me, but Bear Flash comments, same deal with the hit on Rodgers. He threw the ball, got thrown to the ground right after, not dirty at all, flag flies. Yes, it was. It was the exact same call against the Panthers. I thought it was a legal hit. I thought it was a legal hit. I can see where that sounds like illegal sounds like illegal. Anyhow, I thought that was fine. It wasn't dirty by any means. He put a hit on Rodgers, but I mean, it was right after the ball came out. Anyhow, Packers win, right? Packers 2-0 on their way to a big matchup with the Chicago Bears next weekend in Soldier Field, where the Badgers played this weekend. Badgers beating up on Northern Illinois at Soldier Field. I did watch that game, and they were talking about the quality of the surface, saying it was okay during the game. That they I remember the announcers stating specifically they worried how the field was going to hold up in the winter come December, January, but that it was fine yesterday when the Badgers beat up on Northern Illinois pretty good at Soldier Field. Packers RS comments, Rodgers wasn't good today, missed too many throws that he normally makes, needs to be said. Yeah, he wasn't his typical self. I won't say Rodgers wasn't good. He just wasn't his typical, deadly, accurate self that we've become used to. When you have a quarterback rating of, what was it, 118, 119, and you had over 300 yards, that's pretty good. I'll take that any day of the week, and twice on Sundays, three times on Sundays, every Sunday. But, you know, the Aaron Rodgers wasn't, and we said before, those back shoulder throws weren't on this week. But hey, we've been on air for an hour. That's going to do it for the Cheesehead TV post-game show for today. Packers win 30-23 over the Carolina Panthers. Packers go to 2-0 on the season. Big game coming up next week. Division foe, Chicago Bears, next Sunday. Thanks for joining us today, everyone. Thanks for joining us all day long on our live blog coverage here on Cheesehead TV. Thanks to our moderators, Jamie Jors, John Rahor, for all the work they do behind the scenes. Make sure to thank them, folks. Tomorrow morning, Railbird Central here on Cheesehead TV. Make sure to tune in for that. And all week long, Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, and for all the coverage on Cheesehead TV that you read on the live blog throughout the week. Thanks a lot, everyone, once again, for joining in. We will see you later. Have a good one. Go Pack, go.